Right now, we have a government of the weirdos, by the weirdos, and for the weirdos.
That's very good. Yeah.
Hello.
My God.
Stop talking about it.
Brother, you are going down.
There you go again.
Woohoo! This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH. Supposed to be fasting for a blood draw this morning. You know what? You know what coffee with Splenda in it does? It breaks a fast.
Oops.
I know it's not. It doesn't mean stuff in your stomach. It means like you can't have Gatorade or whatever, Kool-Aid. You know, a 12-hour fast means a 12-hour fast. It means you drink water from 8 a.m. yesterday until your draw this morning, and I blew it. And I should know better because I used to do that. I was a phlebotomist at the UW Medical Center.
Do better next time.
I know. And that might be tomorrow morning. I don't know. It's not going to be this morning. I'm not going to waste their time or mine. I'm not going to, as a drawing, going, oh, by the way, I didn't fast.
Now, when you get the blood draw, do you like to look directly at the needle as it's sucking out the blood?
Yeah, I get to see they're doing it right.
That's fun.
And it's a vacutainer. It's the vacuum that's sucking out the blood. Yeah, because that's a way to do it at the Fort Sam Houston, is you had to do your own blood draw. That was basically your final, withdraw your own blood.
I would fail at that.
And I've got a winner. I've got a winner in my elbow right up here. And I always tell them, you can't see it, but it's feel that. And a good phlebotomist should be able to feel with their thumb a vein, a good vein.
Yeah, the most attractive I've ever looked to women is when I get my blood drawn. If she's female, goes, oh, look at those veins.
Yeah,
that's so nice.
And I've had people pass out. I used to work at Eastside Medical Lab in Redmond, and you put your leg between their legs, so if they slump, they go, but there's a backstop. There's a way for them to not fall on the floor.
Wow.
And hardest blood draw, obese African-American people.
That's the hardest blood draw?
Yep. And I was taught that by a senior ranking lab tech who was African-American, and she was just flat out blunt about that. And she said, take your time or you won't get blood.
I did not know that.
And she said, you cannot see a contrast, and it's hard to find it. But anyway, so there's that. How's everyone's Wednesday so far? I took my garbage out at 3 in the morning. Yeah.
I had the frost on the windshield this morning. What's up with that? It's almost May.
27 at El Casa Caliente in Americas County. Yeah, 27 degrees this morning.
Halfway down my street, I was driving and I realized I can't see anything.
I didn't have to pick up anybody at SeaTac yesterday, so my threat of hypertension or anything like that, blood pressure was down. But I mean, where does this stuff come from? Well, here's a clue. This teacher at South in West Seattle is on leave as of this morning, according to Seattle Public Schools. His father, teacher Ian Golash, informed Accuracy and Media that his son is on leave. And who are these dips that are doing the WTO thing of putting their arms in pipes and then handcuffing their hands together, or putting a rebar in there and grabbing that, not letting go?
Right to jail.
Where do they come from? Who radicalizes them? And it happens to them from teachers who give them crazy information. Here is the teacher at a protest confirming that, in fact, he has posted on social media. He's now suspended. He's posted that the murder of innocent women at a music festival is justified, and why wouldn't it be?
Oppressors don't get to choose the form of resistance.
And this is like, remember in Ghostbusters when you get to choose your destructor, and Dan Aykroyd picks the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
How could I forget?
Well, oppressors don't get to choose their form of resistance, and so raping the corpse of a dead woman on a GoPro camera, which they did, is justified resistance to this teacher of your kids on the public dime, Seattle Public School teacher Ian Golash.
Your post said that their oppressors don't get to choose the form of resistance used against them. You didn't write that?
That is true.
Well, then was what happened to Israel on October 7th justified?
Yes.
The rape of women at a music festival was justified.
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
You don't think there was any rape?
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
I'll show him if he wants to see it. I've got it from Telegram.
Okay. Were women murdered at the music festival?
They were.
Was that justified?
Yes.
The murder of innocent women just attending a music festival, that was justified in your opinion?
No, I think resistance against Israel is justified, yes.
Your post said that there are...
So there you go. He's suspended and probably about time, because that was well over 6 months ago now. And that's nuts. And sitting there saying, well, you know, where's the evidence of the Holocaust is what people said for years, which is an interesting parallel between what Hamas did was they had their guys wear GoPro cameras so that there would be no question of that what happened happened. It was broadcast on Al Jazeera. It was broadcast on Iranian TV, including some of their English language analogs. And it was so that nobody would question it. And Churchill sent a camera crew to Auschwitz so that close to the end of the war so that the Germans couldn't cover it up because they were attempting to. And a film, Night Will Fall, I think was what it was called, was made and voiced and narrated. And it's horrifying. But Churchill understood this can't fit through the door of most people's perception. So they'll say it never happened, which he was right. People to this day who have never seen the film have said that. And like this guy, falling back on where's the evidence, I'd whip up my phone and say, want to see it? Here you go. Footage literally of a group of Hamas guys gang raping a corpse there. Okay, there's 6:09 in the morning on the show. But this is happening in Seattle. And you're wondering, who put these ideas in these kids? It's just waiting in line to get dropped off at SeaTac. I got to say, of being dropped off is more important than being picked up, because the flight is going to, it's not going to hold, it's not going to delay. They're not going to delay the airport for these punks. And so when you see some people's tempers blowing over, and for some reason it's always in Europe. I hate saying this, but they've had it up to, because yesterday was the globe is Gaza or something like that. That's why yesterday on the 16th that was happening all around Europe and the whole thing. And for some reason, Europeans have a way shorter fuse on this. And here in Seattle, people are either like me, run them over, or they're out there with them, or whatever.
I hope these people are severely punished. I mean, it really troubles me to think of the amount of people that, you know, weren't able to make weddings due to not making their flights, not able to go on a business trip, not able to see families, to go to funerals. Just to have their business interrupted in this way is just simply disgusting. And I really hope that they throw the book at these people.
Well, and same with governance. You have no right to interrupt a Seattle City Council meeting. And no more than the January 6th rioters had the right to delay a vote. If they were a threat to democracy, I'm here to tell you the day-to-day running of your local city, county, or state is a more retail threat to democracy. You have zero right. You have a right to be arrested, and I get it. If you go in there to get arrested, hopefully you will be arrested. Apparently now in Seattle, they will arrest you. And that crazy woman in Bakersfield who wished death by guillotine on the Bakersfield City Council was stopped immediately and arrested and arraigned and that whole thing. Because you can't – turns out in America, in showing intent – does she have access to a guillotine? She better get a good lawyer that says it's not a realistic threat to threaten to guillotine someone, because no one has a working guillotine in America. The last guillotine execution was in Guyana when it was a French colony, and that was like 1978.
So if you say we're going to Maria Antoinette you, that's not fighting words?
No, those are. But you better be building a guillotine in the South High School wood shop. And then throw in a little metal shop and put a steel blade that's been sharpened to a razor fine hone on it. So there you go. But anyway, we do have some reaction. There are a couple things. In less than 2 hours, a Boeing, the main event will be a Boeing engineer who claims that sections of the skin on the 787 Dreamliner not properly fastened, and he means Everett. He means that you lazy asses at Everett are not joining the 787s together correctly or something. I'll have to wait and see, because I do like actually want to know, if you're the engineer, what were you doing on the assembly line? Because they do that. I remember what I used to see in Monroe is that the what's it called, the Dream Lifter. You know, they have that supersized, super guppy airplane, and I want to say it's an old 707 with the new fuselage, and because they fly them in, they fly the body sections in from Asialand, and they fly them into Everett directly with a specifically modified set of planes called Dream Lifters. And they would fly on their final to Everett, to Payne Field. Oftentimes they were like on a 270 heading directly over Monroe or Woodinville when I lived in the Maltby region, the greater Maltby region. Here's Senator Cotton on these punk protesters, by the way.
Feel very deeply for all those people who are trying to get to work or trying to pick up a kid. Very worried about the diversion of police resources when it needs to be stopping crime in cities like San Francisco, where firefighters are having to go there when they might have calls for fires out. I have to say, Sandra, I agree with you that you have to get to these criminals early. If something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard, not by law enforcement, but by the people whose road they're blocking. If they glued their hands to a car or the pavement, well, probably pretty painful to have their skin ripped off. But I think that's what the way we...
Turns out it is. We got that footage from, I think, Germany, where some people were like gorilla gluing their hands to pavement. And all you're doing is surrendering the skin of your palms on there, because the Germans were just tearing out the Band-Aid, and they were screaming that. And by the way, I think the idea, once you get on the struggle bus, you think somehow the law doesn't apply to you or something, and that you can take a megaphone into Seattle City Council, or you can lie down in middle of I-5. And I mean, look what happened a couple of months ago when I forgot what the struggle bus stop was. What was the thing when it was northbound I-5 on a Sunday? So you're just bothering people looking for stuff to do. They're not going to work, but they stopped I-5, and the state patrol called a riot squad, but they didn't do anything. They shut it down for a couple hours, and you think that you have the right to shout down Seattle City Council just because you brought a megaphone and you super glued the megaphone to your hand. And there was a time, and I think because of the universal, the overwhelming hostility that Seattle police got after the WTO, there was a general sort of, you know, you get what you deserve, and in Seattle PD. And I fully understand that, having witnessed that chaos from this building, going out and being a field recorder of stuff. I saw Seattle police overwhelmingly outnumbered, trying as hard as they could to keep an I-5 on-ramp just open, you know, because you have no right to stop me from going where I want to go on a government-funded road. But the mayor's daughter was dressed as a sea turtle, and she kept yelling that. I mean, I can personally tell you, I witnessed that Paul Scholl's daughter was dressed as a sea turtle, and she was yelling who she was and trying to intimidate police from stopping her silliness, when in reality, they made her look better by getting her the hell off there. But what's funny is, taking a step back yesterday and seeing all the coverage of a couple of things are happening, where you're indicating, you're seeing panic happening when NPR, when government radio, when government funded radio and TV is panicking, and they are panicking because now they have an insider who's been suspended for saying out loud what we all know, that they say they're fair, but their advocacy journalism, and they're advocating for themselves and not for there is no objectivity, and they're getting government money. That's the objection. It's not a lot, but it's a substantial amount of their operating revenue. I mean, so much so that if you had the margin that they're given, you would call it a profit. I mean, they're operating on free money, and they're not doing it in the name of the people of the country that are being taxed, that disagree with the liberal crap they hear, the unbroken streak of liberal local crap and national crap that you hear on NPR. And now that people are saying, you know, maybe more than window dressing would be nice, they're panicking. They're absolutely panicking. And it's because there's a thing called the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that funds PBS and National People's Radio. And it's not all Ken Burns documented. There's lots of great content on public TV. I love Ken Burns' work, but it's becoming increasingly. There's an agenda even in that, and he understands what hand is feeding him.
Well, and so now the spotlight is being shined on NPR's new CEO who took over the public network last month. People are digging up some of her old tweets, where they're aimed at conservatives in a negative way. And furthermore, someone highlighted a TED talk she gave where she talked about how truth is relative. So,
and here is a little bit of that.
Perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. We acknowledge there are many different truths. I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you, but this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
That really is finding fly crap and pepper, as they say.
That's postmodernism mumbo jumbo. It's one of the reasons our country is in such bad shape right now, is that ethos has been adopted by so many people.
And they absolutely justify the modern magnifying lens to examine Lewis and Clark in 1804. Or something like that, without acknowledging that, and also in the today truth, the fact that the disdain for Donald Trump or anyone who thinks that this current president is not doing a good job, or maybe he's about to throw Israel under the bus or whatever, that's called spin, and you know, your interest in something. Like your defense of the Second Amendment is probably not valid. It'll be simply called, we reached out to the National Rifle Association, but they didn't call back. Well, because they know that you're going to edit to death anything I say, so some media outlets are not worth talking to. I'm not saying that everybody with a conservative mindset is going to be Stephen Miller humping Trump's leg, but he was the focus of so much Trump hate, and he is he's back and bigger than ever now last night. So on CNN, Anderson Cooper grabbed him. If you don't remember him, the young bald guy who always had a weird grin on his face when he would denounce he loved being him. And he explained.
Let me also just say, since we're addressing the subject of style, the most stylish president and first lady in our lifetimes are Donald Trump and Melania Trump.
And that will get, you know, an editor at MSNBC's head to explode and say, well, what did you say about Michelle and Barack Obama? They said that they led news with that.
Donald Trump's a style icon. He changed American fashion in The Apprentice. People spent the next 10 years trying to dress like Donald Trump. So if anybody deserves a puff piece on their sense of style, it's Donald Trump and the First Lady. Joe Biden, to the point that might not get me made so well, looks like a walking corpse.
I'm not saying I disagree. I just have never humped anyone's leg that hard. When we come back, speaking of leg humpers, a dog fight, a brawl at the off-leash dog park at Cal Anderson Park on Capitol Hill yesterday. It brings all the kids to the yard back in the second AM 770 KTTH. Somebody, KTTH, Brian Suits here. Here's an object lesson in government power, by the way, for you. The British Parliament, the vote to ban young people from buying cigarettes is looming. And this is like they will actually come up with a date that if you are born after this date in 1989 or whatever, you can't purchase tobacco. The choice taking a bad choice away from you is being justified as a legitimate use of government power in Britain. And there's many. What's really crazy is there's people that are fervently defending this overreach.
Prince of that harm told the Nicky Campbell Show on BBC Radio 5 Live he regretted ever starting to smoke.
I had to have one lung removed.
Radio 5 Live, everybody. Who's this? This is Nicky Campbell. How you doing? And then they have government TV, in this case BBC, backing up this by supporting it with, well, this one guy called into our radio sister station, BBC Five, and said that he regrets smoking.
Got emphysema and COPD in the other lung, and now I found out I've got terminal cancer in my liver and adrenal gland.
In me liver. I don't know. Here's the thing. Who out there says, God, that was my best life choice to start smoking. Is there any mystery about all the negative health effects of smoking? I don't think there is. My dad was Exhibit A because when he was taking it to that Hirohito, the Navy was giving him cigarettes because in 1943, they gave you cigarettes. At the least, they were available for sale. And then he went into that intense anti-smoking environment of air traffic control. And so the bottom line was he didn't die of lung cancer, though, however, but there's other cancers involved. OK, so they're going to vote on a smoking ban, and it's overwhelmingly being supported by the public because the public is watching BBC and you're getting a guy who says that me liver has cancer because he smoked or something.
I'm so sorry.
It's something I've got used to now. I've come to terms with it, but what I've gone through the last 3 years, I wouldn't like anybody.
And then the ultimate trump card that they have is we pay for your health care. And this is, if there's any one reason to oppose a single-payer government health care plan, that would be it. They would literally, as a cost-saving excuse, they would literally take away your ability to make a bad choice. I mean, I know that sounds odd, but that's one hallmark of freedom is that, you know, okay, let's all admit this right now. Bad choices make for great stories, okay? That being said, bad health care choices make for health bills, and we're going to face a generation, when this generation gets older, a generation of type 2 diabetics that are currently running around our high school halls right now, and they're being enabled by the menu. Theoretically not, but I'm going to say in your kid's school, there's a vending machine with Monster and Venom and all those energy drinks that have no business in a school. I got to tell you, whatever. If taurine is not caffeine, it's an energy drink, and that's great. But it's just chock full of sugar, and there's nothing good in that. Or even worse, corn syrup.
Well, yeah, I mean, the leading killer of Americans is heart disease.
And I would never advocate a ban on corn syrup. Because the leading killer of Americans is their ability to make bad choices.
Well, and why shouldn't the Brits also ban alcohol, which is really bad for your liver, for all kinds of internal organs if consumed in copious amounts? Cigarettes, bad for you. But as far as protecting people's ability to make bad decisions for their own health. I mean, there's a rich tradition of that.
Yeah, but this is what's crazy is it's a full court press from all eight arms of British government, including their monopoly on TV media, because BBC is overwhelmingly watched in Britain. It is the British Broadcasting Corporation, because they put up comedy shows and entertainment shows, the whole thing, but their news is heavily biased towards the Labour Party's agenda, and demonstrably biased against Conservative Party Prime Minister like Rishi Sunak. And they take great care to not make it look criticism of him race-based and the whole thing. But it's bonkers for the government to, I mean, I get the warning. You've all been warned. All you smokers, you see the side of the pack. You've been warned. There's no mystery about tobacco. You go up to Canada, and has anyone ever seen the Canadian labels where they have the pictures of diseased lungs? It's like, if you're not a doctor or a medical lab cytologist, you're just seeing a gross postmortem, a pathologist taking a picture of a lung, and it's on the side of the cigarettes which you just bought. So the ban that they're going to do in Britain is the mantle will be taken up here. Because there are many, many liberal Democrats who think that socialized medicine and Britain are the model and that there should be a big brother taking away a choice of yours. And I don't have a motorcycle. I'll justify helmets on highways. If you're out there going, oh, then what about mandatory helmets? Well, okay, but I paid for that road. And when you bonk your noggin and scrape the cranium away, I'm going to pay for the ambulance that's going to get you to the hospital, get you to Harborview, which is a government-funded level one trauma center. And I get to dictate what safety standards are on my publicly funded roads. And that's one of them I agree with. Unless you can show, and I thought it used to be like this in Utah, it used to be like this, that if you could show financial responsibility, you could opt to ride without a helmet. I couldn't care less as long as you're going to pay for it.
And though tangential, it is worth noting that a person who helped save Western civilization was aided by puffing on a cigar on the regular. And that person's name was Winston Churchill.
And by the way, Churchill woke up and drained two bottles of champagne. Okay, not Martinelli's. I mean, he drank more before 9 a.m. in his bed than I've ever done at a best friend's wedding reception. I mean,
and look where it got him.
That was a feature of life with old Winston. And yeah, he would. That was his trick that he revealed was he kept a hat pin in the cigar. If you're saying, man, that guy could do an ash like no one's business. It was because he would put a hat pin in there and it would hold the ash together. Not me. I keep that cherry bright. I tap it left and right. Your kid's head, whatever's convenient. But so they're going to do that in the GB.
To go through, you know, and if I could go back, I wish I never started.
The harmed.
Oh, we should never started, Ringo, don't you know? And they all smoked. All the Beatles smoked. And even then, in the early 60s, they weren't shown smoking, but they all got off the plane in New York and smoked. Oh, can we smoke in New York? Yeah, you can still. So this is without a blink of an eye, conservatives are finally coming out. It's Liz Truss, the woman who was prime minister for a cup of coffee like 2 years ago, who's pointing out, you know, this is another thing where government is making choices for us. And that, you know what that all means? It means mandatory Ozempic for everybody. And though some probably wouldn't object, but I've got the cancer in me liver.
And I've got terminal cancer in me liver.
And so there you go. So that's about to happen, so watch out for that. And also, want another cautionary government tale? Let's turn to China. If you're deep in debt, you don't even have to be in default. But Xin Wangsheng, imagined a better life in the city, where she left her home village to become a factory worker at age 16. Now in her early 40s, she has $40,000 in personal debt and a base salary of $400 a month in yuan, if you believe in that. Debt collectors are hounding her. They've reported her to the government. Now, she hasn't violated any laws. She just owes money. And so the government blocked her by facial recognition. She can't buy tickets on China's high-speed rail network. And she can't use her face to pay tolls on certain roads. So that's... some in America would call that government overreach. Others would call it utopia. But, I mean, imagine a world where you can't make a bad choice. And I don't mean jump off a cliff. I mean have a drink today, or have a fat kid, or smoke. And I mean, I'm not going to take up smoking. I've heard great things about it, but it just never has worked out for me. I like the cigar. I do like the pipes. And I have convinced myself that if pipe tobacco comes through walnut, it renders it harmless and cancer-free. I'm pretty sure I did a study on that, and we're pretty firm on that. But no, it makes me want to go take up cigarettes or something, because that I'm a contrarian on that. And the government mandating your behavior, they can only do that if they have leverage. Like, we're China, we're going to take your kidney or put you in prison, but you're going to be barred by police at the high speed rail station that you have no business there. And that's how that manifests itself, that the Chinese get an alert at a local police station adjacent to the high-speed rail station, and they start looking for you. They have a handheld scanner. Your face comes up, and every time you walk by a facial recognition scanner in China, because you're late on payments to an internet provider or whatever, and they complain to the government about you, you can't jump on high-speed rail. And let's say your parents are dying or something like that, and you want to get there fast, you're barred from getting on there. So curious, eh? The Biden administration, by the way, is about to triple tariffs on Chinese steel. So can't wait for this to happen. Okay, so a checking of your texting, a checking of your fasting texting. So don't eat anything, including don't drink coffee. Texas at 800-465-8770. How will the form of Israel's revenge against Iran, what will it take? What will it look like? Nothing so far today. And the Biden foreign policy of just saying don't to people about stuff apparently is being viewed with contempt in Israel, where the conventional wisdom is don't tell us how to take revenge. We invented revenge. See the 72 Olympics, that and even more. AM 770 KTTH.
Who's my best friend? That's my best friend right there. Yes, sir. We're getting old, but we're still here.
That's my friend Terry Shepard putting up a video of his dog Larry, and it kills me because this is the guy I've talked about who's who adopts. People will drop an older dog off at a shelter. Not at AM 770 KTTH, we don't do this, but they'll drop it off at a shelter because it's too old. They don't want to spend the money to ease the pain or have the dog euthanized and be honest about it. They make someone else do it. Anyway, so he's adopted these abandoned dogs. And in his case, he says, Larry left this world yesterday. I've loved sharing him with all of you, even though I only had him for the last years of his life. We had a great run. He really was my best friend. And I couldn't do that because every couple of months, you know, if you get close to him, then, you know it's closer than a puppy.
Who's my best friend? That's my best friend right there.
What a good looking old like hound doggy sort of dog. And
it is a pro move to give your dog a more human sounding name too. I like the Larrys, the Carls,
yeah,
the Daniels.
This is Larry the hound dog.
Yeah.
Sir, we're getting old, but we're still here.
So he left this world yesterday, he says. And anyway, Terry's a very interesting cat. He's a Special Forces veteran from Afghanistan and Iraq. And if the name is kind of familiar to you, then maybe you caught him on Hollywood Weapons. He's had a couple TV shows. One of them I thought was really, really pretty clever. Any weapon you've seen do some amazing thing in TV or movies, he'll test it. And it's called Hollywood Weapons. It's all over YouTube. But a really, really good guy, really interesting cat. And then he shares his sadness with us on a lovely Wednesday. But you know how we've been ordered to do more interviews?
Uh-huh.
And we got that from the very top. He'd be a good one. See what projects he has. But he's very, very, very telegenic, and his stuff on very interesting to if you're a history head or a gun head, his Hollywood Weapons is really good. So you may check that out at your own peril at work, because you won't stop watching. So the Mayorkas impeachment was walked over to the Senate yesterday, he's been on the weekend. He's clawing for survival here as the border melts down. But of course, the issue everyone's all on about in Arizona is abortion and 1864, and it's so draconian. But oddly enough, when they're polled, people in Arizona and other border states say, immigration, immigration, immigration. So, and you would think you'd read the room if you're the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas.
We cannot change a broken immigration system. Only Congress can
do. There is no executive order, so you're pulling it off the table?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, we explore options every single day. That's the responsibility of good government. We are considering options. We have been throughout. And we cannot change.
And you work for the president at his pleasure, correct? Yes. So if he needed that help, and he does, he could call for it. And at this point, I think politically, if you paid me in cash up front to give this president any advice right now, because he's bleeding popularity and numbers over this guy, I would unceremoniously replace him with that one Democrat with Marine in his resume from Arizona, who is fairly common sense on this because he reflects his constituency in Arizona, Gallego, and I think he's running for governor against Kerry Lake in Arizona. But anyway, I'd yank this guy, and then I would tell Gallego, all right, accept the job immediately and talk about the dire crisis on the border. I'll be there at the podium with you, and I'll nod concernedly. Instead of being in Scranton in Pennsylvania for the next 3 days, where the number one issue amongst Democrat likely voters is immigration. And so bring Gallego to Pennsylvania. I mean, this is what's so dumb is when you're letting the kind of people that would lie down in front of SeaTac advise you, then they're going to tell you that there's a genocide in Gaza and that the children are on the brink, the precipice, the edge of the abyss of famine, and there's none. And if you're getting advice from people like that, then it's no wonder at your results.
So senators will be sworn in as jurors today, but it's unclear whether or not the impeachment trial will actually move forward. There could be a motion to table, which would go against what Leader Mitch McConnell wants.
It would be beneath the Senate's dignity to shrug off our clear responsibility and fail to give the charges we'll hear today the thorough consideration they deserve.
I didn't catch a word of that.
He's getting harder to understand.
Yeah, I got to say. And if you want to see where the straight line from Cotter and money and liberal universities, then listen to the 10th break from yesterday, because I'm outlining that from a report published by Accuracy in Media. They track the money that Al Jazeera donates to Georgetown, Virginia Commonwealth, Northwestern, these liberal bastions, and the money would stun you. In the case of Northwestern and Georgetown, you're going downhill to $1 billion. It's like $760 million from Cotter to Georgetown. And they're doing it to invest in journalism schools and the whole thing. So obviously you donate that kind of money. You can name the curriculum, and you can name the staff that's teaching the curriculum, and that's how you get teachers running around saying things like this.
Your post said that their oppressors don't get to choose the form of resistance used against them. You didn't write that?
That is true.
Well, then was what happened to Israel on October 7th justified?
Yes.
The rape of women at a music festival was justified.
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
You don't think there was any rape?
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
Okay. Were women murdered at the music festival?
They were.
Was that justified?
I mean, I'd turn that around and say, how do you know that? Why do you believe that? Because there's body cam video of that, too. But anyway, all this talk of sad dog talk has made me remind myself that now with more dogs than children in Seattle, Seattle's really way behind in catching up with off-leash dog park areas. And I got to say, Cal Anderson Park has a nice softball complex, and it is fenced, but it's turf. Like, you're letting, because good dog owners pick up the dog poo, but it still has to hit the ground. It's hitting the turf at a city park. I think this is a really bad idea, and now the humans are fighting over it.
Right now, police are looking for seven suspects who hit Evergrove Northwest. While they say half of them raided that facility, the others kidnapped a security guard.
That's the wrong thing. We'll get to that. The weed takeover gang. But no, there was a brawl caught on video on Reddit, and it was because someone had food out, and someone else's husky came over and stuck its muzzle in there. Turns out dogs will eat stuff. And a fight ensued. Donnybrook broke out, and it was all on Reddit. And it was all about what your dog was doing. And I got to say, the conventional manners at dog parks is if you bring treats and all the dogs come to you because they know you have the treats, you shouldn't be aggressive, shouldn't be surprised. Really, the ball's in your court on that one. And that's the old kindergarten. I hope you brought enough for everybody, because that's the bottom line on that one. And if you put water out for a dog, everyone's going to go drink it. So you don't get aggressive with mine. And this is someone getting aggressive with someone else's dog because the aggressor put food down and the husky thought that's anyone's and all that. All right, we'll come back next hour. And this is a little too well done for me. A grow in Tumwater was hit by a crew that kidnapped the security guard. So they knew that there was a security guard there. Then they carried out bags of product, which are fungible. You can sell them for cash. I mean, it's that's why weed shops are robbed all the time. In this case, the grower. They went to the grower. On this one, was it a well-executed crew of pot thieves? It sure looks like it. And I'll tell you why when we come back. And the 787 whistleblower is going to get in front of Congress here in about 1 hour and say that you lazy bee ranch hands up there in Everett are putting the 787s together wrong. Come on, Lego people. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.